Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Eso, epa! How are we doing, everyone? Welcome. You are watching the Jane the Virgin After Show on AfterBuzz TV. That little salsa bit was of a Latin Grammy winner who won this weekend, Ruben Blades, Son de Panamá, with Roberto Delgado y Orquesta. I'm actually very proud of that because my uncle is part of the orchestra, Carlos Perez Bido. Shout out to him and congratulations to Ruben Blades and all of them for winning that award.
Ooh, bravo. So
that's, yeah, that's really great. Start some salsa as always. Today we are watching the Chapter 29, we're talking about Chapter 29. And before we get started, don't forget to subscribe to our page below. Find us on iTunes, on SoundCloud, rate us 5 stars. Let us know what you think, which we all know that you have been, so we appreciate that. Otherwise, my co-host this evening will be
Sean Overman. You guys can find me at Sean Austin O, SEANAUSTINO on Twitter and Instagram.
Excellent. And unfortunately, the other three girls are not here today, but they are out on assignment and some are still sick. But otherwise, we will see them on the following. Actually, we won't be here for the next 2 weeks. The next show we'll have is December 14th for the mid-season finale. But we do have quite a few things to talk about this evening.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. And actually, the focus isn't even on Jane. Well, I mean, it is on Jane. It's not really focused on Raph and Michael, which I guess is kind of refreshing. And I know some of you have said that we are being mean towards Michael, which I don't want you to think that because he's Team Michael. I'm not. But
yeah, so it's going to be more balanced tonight.
Right. It's going to be a little more balanced. I am a little passionate about Raph, but we're going to go ahead and start with Rogelio's story instead because he's all over the place. And, before we do that, of course, as always, let's do our flashback. We just see Jane's, one of her first jobs, which is babysitting. And then, of course, it plays a part in her life later because she can't choose the right babysitter.
Mm-mm.
I feel this for most people. My sister went through the same thing.
I don't have kids, but I don't know. It would be tough. I interview people for my day job all the time, so it's tough to find the right person. Mm-hmm. And when you get to, you know, like with Jane, she got to that point where it's like she got fed up with all the other people, and then she found someone who was perfect.
Exactly.
I felt like they were going to give up at some point, but then they got Chepa.
Mm-hmm.
And she spoke Spanish, she has tons of experience, and she's
patient.
Thoughtful, patient, flexible, mm-hmm. So that's good.
She was great. And, you know, with all those, like, horror stories that we've heard about, you know, random nannies and stuff like that.
Stealing stuff, maybe.
Stealing stuff. Well, even the nanny cams that people have set up of those babysitters who've, like, beat the children and stuff. Like, that's awful.
Yeah.
Anyways, before we get started, I just want to make sure. James, I can't hear myself talking, so I just want to make sure that my mic is working.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Loud and clear. All right.
You know, I was in the studio earlier. I had the same problem. But I was, like, confident in James, and I knew that he would have told me something.
I was not, damn it. I needed to hear myself.
Adjusted the levels.
All right.
James is great. He's a great engineer. Thanks, James.
Thank you, James. Okay, so, yes, Rogelio. Rogelio was trying to do his version of Mad Men.
Hombres locos.
And, of course, he jumped the gun, didn't think about rights, and
he had to ask the people in Hollywood,
yes.
the people who created the show, the showrunners for Mad Men. And
right.
Even though his was, like, a great comedic version
right.
of Mad Men, still the guy was just like, No. And he was even doing, like, the typical madman, like, on the couch, kind of, like, had his arm up, didn't show his face. Look.
Perfect. I know.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. And then we find out that during this whole pilot that he wanted to create, he invested all of his money in. And...
Which could be a good thing for an actor to do if they're investing in themselves. You know, it usually helps
and
to propel...
And if they do it properly.
If they do it properly, it helps them to propel their career further. Actually, Vin Diesel, who's a good friend of Maria's, you know, Maria Menounos here at the studio, he took out, like, a second mortgage on his house to get money to invest in his future productions, like Fast and Furious. Yeah, stuff like that. So it can be successful. In Rogelio's case, not so successful because he's just all over the place.
And he dismissed his financial advisor who did tell him not to do that. But we all know Rogelio.
Yes.
Okay. So he does all that. That fails. And in the midst of all that, we also find out that Xiomara turned in one of her songs. So it would be the theme music.
For Hombres Locos. But then Telemasivo.
Telemasiva. Which I think is a spin-off on Televisa.
Televisa?
There's Telemundo, but there's also Televisa that came out with all of the old novelas back in the day.
Okay.
So.
So she got picked up for a different show, but it was the show of his arch nemesis, right? So
yes.
they were about to use it, but then he ended up, for some reason, went over there, like, he always blows his cool, right?
Always.
He gets himself into trouble. He goes over there to Esteban's show, and he just spills the beans, and Esteban decides he's not going to use the song anymore, just because he wants to get back at him.
Yeah.
No! Right. Damn it! I can't believe... Rogelio, you goofed up, man.
You did.
Why?
You actually said something right now that kind of made me think of something else, how Rogelio always just is so... gung-ho, and he kind of messes things up for himself.
Yeah.
Jane's the same way.
Yeah.
Jane is the same way, and I think it's funny that Xiomara isn't, even though we know her to be the one who was a bit scandalous while she was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But she's almost, I think she's more calm. I think Jane just is so passionate that she gets excited the same way Rogelio is, and that's why things kind of turn out that way. They're so certain of themselves when... they shouldn't always be.
I think you're right too, and that's funny that you point that out. I'm glad to see that there is that resemblance from father to daughter.
Yes,
it's nice to see in
they're
the show.
They're pretty good, and I always wonder if people are doing that on purpose, if they're focusing on that. One show that I have to give the example for is Grey's Anatomy. I think that from season one till now, they made sure everyone's character and the way they wrote things out was so that it would play out perfectly later. You know, even if they brought someone else or even if it's a comparison or characteristics, traits, whatever it is, little ticks, I don't know, whatever you want to say.
No, I can see that. Yeah, I love it when writers do that. And
they pay attention. That's it's research done well.
Yeah. And then they use the characters' traits to just like prolong different storylines and then create more complex relationships with other characters.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. So, yeah. Well, like father, like daughter.
Yeah.
But... before Rogelio messes it up for Xiomara, he makes it better, which, of course, because Esteban and him are ridiculous, Esteban hasn't played the jester in his new series and makes Rogelio look like a fool, but Rogelio does it because he's in love with Xiomara.
Yeah.
And Xiomara gets the song.
That was really brave of him to do that. And you know what? He swallowed his pride because he's a very prideful guy.
He did.
And I'm glad to see that he was able to do that. I actually didn't expect him to do that.
I didn't expect him to do it either, but... I'm happy that what made him... Well, actually, no. He did that on his own prior to him walking out on his little scene. On his little... Actually, was that before or after?
It was after, I believe.
It was after, yes.
Because he wasn't supposed to... He walked off on that with the horse from that one job, that cowboy show.
And then that happened afterwards.
And then that happened afterwards for him to get... to have him keep that. I don't know if he's going to get any extra money. He probably would. I would have liked to have seen him with the jester hat on.
So what? I mean, it would have made everything a little more...
Yeah, it would have been more comical.
It would have.
More fitting.
Exactly, more fitting. But he gets this urge to be better because the girls come and see him. Alba, Xiomara, and Jane show up at his first day of filming for the new cowboy novela that he's doing.
Hashtag Team Rogelio.
Yeah, hashtag Team Rogelio, which was great because I love that Xiomara made a point to say, I'm pissed, but I'm not going to miss out. Like, I'm going to be here for you. And then Jane saying, come on, Dad, we're here for you no matter what. And Alba saying that tú ya eres familia. You're mm-hmm. part of the family now.
That was a nice touch.
That was. It was really great touch. And it was really cute. The narrative is like, now he knows that he is rich, but rich of love. And mm-hmm. that's so great. I'm a cornball. I love that stuff. But yeah, so that's really great. And Rogelio's doing better now. And he is willing to get a one bedroom or that studio.
Yeah.
And is kind of coming back down to earth.
A $1,500 studio. He didn't say the square foot, so I'm like, oh, I want to know how big that is, you know.
Right.
But it's just ridiculous how he said, oh, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, you know, $50,000. What
right.
the heck? That's
yeah.
ridiculous.
And he
man.
Had New Pants Wednesdays. Stop it.
Oh,
I mean, that
God.
Sounds incredible, but stop it. You could do that here, maybe, if you were to go to Forever 21 every week and get some pants for $27.
But not with Rogelio's taste. He needs to get life.
He's like trying to get True Religions every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of someone who needs new pants, Steph.
Oh! Okay, everybody, ready?
Check this out. This is what he's talking about.
Do you guys see all the holes in my pants?
And those are probably $200 pants. Yes.
No, they were from those like little... It was like, it's a random boutique. It was next to, it's by the Grove across the street. It closed down. And it's like next to the Kmart and Payless.
It wasn't like Buffalo Exchange, was it?
No, it was like the one where the chinas are selling the clothes.
Mm.
Sorry. That's a Latin part thing that we say. You know, the Asian women that have like those
stores
and like super cute clothes, but for cheap?
Yeah.
That's me. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Whatever. Jane likes Target. I like Target also,
yep.
but I also like those other stuff.
They totally use Target to advertise.
Oh, they talked Target.
Oh,
actually, why don't we talk about Black Friday? That was really funny because it was serious and it's coming up next week. And my friend Jay was the manager who stopped by and said, oh, are you finding everything all right?
Yeah.
We'll have him call in a little bit and we'll talk to him a little about the show and about what he's doing and how it was to meet all of them.
Get the inside scoop.
Yeah. That part made me a little bit sad. Because, well, not sad. It was nice to see Michael again. I was excited to see Jane's reaction. And I wasn't surprised about it, but I was sad how sad she was.
Yeah. You could see she was pouting.
Mm-hmm.
Michael shot her down really quickly. I thought it was funny because I had a feeling that there was something up. Like, it seemed almost pre-prepared. I felt like they could have done it in a different location, not in Target.
Right.
But that's just me. And it was also interesting to see him not wear... I think it's the most casual I've seen him. He wasn't wearing a collared shirt. And it like he's obviously a fit guy, but it made his neck look a lot skinnier.
Right.
Which was kind of funny. But I when I saw her pout, I was like, yes, feel bad because you should be with Michael,
mm-hmm.
not with Ralph. No, Ralph.
Okay, I... thought, yes, be sad because it's been 6 months, but then at the same time I thought, well, that's the longest that she went without seeing him, even after the fact that she had gotten pregnant and when they had separated. They were seeing each other, I think the most was maybe a month or a couple of, like, maybe 3 weeks that they went without seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very used to having Michael by her side, and I think that that's what makes it such a big difference. It's like one of those things for when you're younger and you're just starting to like guys. I remember there was this one boy, Kyle Fox, loved him so much, and I didn't really know that I liked him as much until he wasn't there for me because he started dating some girl and then I like made them break up.
Yeah, like he wasn't trying to buy for your attention.
I'm just
anymore.
Kidding.
Oh no!
But yeah, that was funny. But I don't know. But that's my point is that I feel that she's recognizing it and it didn't take her too much to just get over it a little. But now I know all of you Team Michael fans are so happy that we saw this bad side of Ralph in this episode that we'll get to in a second. I want to talk about Petra first.
They did that really well, though, before you move on to Petra. Like, mm-hmm. they keep going back and forth.
They do. They
want it. Episode. You know, I didn't feel like... I don't feel like I noticed it as much until the last few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, whoa, back and forth, back and forth.
It is.
Especially with... And we talked about this last time, how the narrator is purposefully leaving stuff out.
Yes.
Because we didn't get to see what happened with Michael. Even there was like a sliver, a few seconds that was left out with him getting caught looking at the files on the computer and his lieutenant firing him. They made it look like he was fired, but he wasn't fired. They were using him
undercover to get at Sinrostro
and the whole like drug syndicate, whatever.
Yeah, which is also part of the reason why I think that Michael was quick to not speak to Jane. Well, one, because of what happened, but now he finally understands that nothing can happen until this is solved.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And, nothing will ever happen between them until it's solved.
Yeah, and him putting on that hat, when I saw it, I was like, huh, electrician. I don't feel like Michael's going to be working at a
place
like that.
Did you see what he was
like
buying at Target?
He bought some kind of wire.
He bought some wire, right.
Yeah.
So maybe something's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I think he used it to run cable for that one camera that he used to plant somewhere.
Oh, right.
Maybe. Probably would.
Which, oh my gosh, and we also find out, okay, fine, we'll talk about Petra later. We also find out that Nadine died, which is ridiculous. I can't believe that. I thought it was fake for a second, and now it just breaks my heart because she blocked him.
Yeah.
And I know that's what he's thinking about because he's like the guy and he should have protected her, but
yeah.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah, she totally, she did the human shield on
yeah.
him. And, but you know what? When I see that too, they have had so many people. Well, they've had people die on this show. We had, I forget his name.
Sazo,
right?
Roman.
We had him fall on that unicorn, get impaled, or whatever it was. Marlin?
But his twin brother Aaron came back.
Yeah, it was a Marlin, yeah. Oh, it was his twin brother. Okay.
That came back. It wasn't him that
came
back.
Oh, it wasn't him. Okay, I guess I forgot about that. Okay.
Right, no, there's no deaths that were faking came
back. Okay, okay.
Because I would love for Mr. Solano to come back, because that blows my mind that he died too.
I feel like with Nadine, there could be the possibility of her, like, it being a fake death to protect her family, because we know that her family was being manipulated to get at her, right? Or they were being put in danger.
But Michael, when he was standing there at the funeral, he seemed sad, but he could have just been sad, because if it was fake, he's sad for the family having to endure this.
Yes.
Even for fake.
It could be.
Right.
Latin narrator, please tell us that Nadine's not dead.
I know, Anthony Mendez. Hopefully we can get him on the show again. He's amazing. Yeah, so, ooh, that's a little bit complicated. Now, one part that I am confused about is the fella that was there whom we saw.
Eric,
yeah.
That's the character's
name. This is
the
part that's a little confusing to me because he's the one who told on Michael, but then he actually does know Nadine.
Yes.
Because why was he at the funeral?
I think Raph
knows him.
Yes.
So there's a lot more there than what we.
Well, Raph, I don't think Raph really knows him. I feel like he sought him out because he somehow, maybe he did some investigation with Nadine's family and friends, and he said, who could I use in that circle to come forward and tell a lie about Michael? Mm-hmm.
Technically, not tell a lie.
Or, okay.
He saved himself.
Okay, not tell a lie, but, like, give
have
up
someone
some,
do them, yeah.
Yeah, give up some information that he overheard,
mm-hmm.
right?
You see, this is all a miscommunication, and this is how they're having us go, Team Michael, Team Raph, Team Michael, Team Raph. Because they're both seemingly doing something bad and both seemingly doing something nice.
Yep.
Really, they're just being regular-ass people and just dealing with what comes to them as they go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're crossing the bridge as they get there.
Yeah, they're making it the extremes in this show.
They are. It's just frustrating because I need love.
Are you going to cry on air?
Yeah. I think I cried once during my American Idol after show because I was so passionate about one of the contestants. And I was like, no, this is not fair. Anyways. But
last time you had the tissues beside you.
I did.
Yeah.
My toilet paper?
Yeah,
I had my toilet paper.
Yeah,
I got so much flack for that. But it's okay. All right. So we'll go back to that in a second. I like to go over... not that they're not important, but the other smaller stories, storylines.
The subplots.
Subplots. Actually, there's a big one, but still, I want to start with Petra. So we just still see Petra almost becoming friends with Jane, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to meet up for lunch, and it was cute because Jane goes, I think Petra just asked me on a date, and then Petra responds as if it was a date. She said yes, which is nice. And
super
then it's
cute. It's not. It's
so cute.
It's hard when us adults are like a lot older. It's hard for us to make friends because we have such separated lives.
Oh,
especially when, in this case, Petra was in love with Raph, right? Maybe still kind of is, and she and that's a big bridge that they have to cross to become friends.
Absolutely.
Especially when they're sharing this guy in their children.
Yes.
Right? He's half of each of their children, which is crazy.
No, that is nuts. And I just feel bad that Petra is right to say, actually, it's not worth it. Well, not that it's not worth it. She wanted to be friends with Jane. But really, Petra's thinking, I can't do it right now. We just killed this guy, and now I have to take care of my mom again. Which just blows my mind that she wouldn't just throw her mother under the bus. And I get that it's her mom, but It's like, Mom, what are you doing right now? How are you going to kill somebody? I have, like, these two babies coming in. You know?
Magda needs to be out of the picture, I'm telling you. Right. By the end of this season, she's got to die somehow. Like, Sinrostro somehow is going to kill her.
Right, either that or she's going to be the hero and figure out who Mutur is and do all of that.
Or maybe die being a human shield for Petra in some way.
Oh.
That would be fitting.
We'll take that. Save Petra and the babies.
Hashtag early prediction.
So, yeah, hashtag. so that's really sad. But I get it. Like I said last week, you know, the closest thing next to hate is kind of love. I remember there's only one girl in my life that I thought I hated, and it had to do with sharing a boyfriend also, but that we didn't know about. And it wasn't until like later in life that we understood each other, and we knew where we were in that time, and now we're friends, and I can't help but have love for her, even though I hated her with all my heart when I was younger. And now it's, you kind of grew up and things are different, and now we all have to like work together, and she lives in Los Angeles too and wants to, she's in the entertainment business, and so you gotta have to believe in others. So
it's an important connection.
It is, but I'm saying this because I still believe in Jane and Petra's friendship.
It's still possible.
Yeah, it's still possible, especially because I can't believe that they're going through with Petra having these babies.
It's terrible because Petra was placed in a position, right, to save her mother or give her up. That was the first thing that came to her mind, mostly because Petra's kind of a bitch.
Right.
So she was like, "What can I say right now to just get her out of here?" Yeah. Boom, and she did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is that, well, she has to save her ass also.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, now she's just attached to all of it.
Yeah.
Because technically, Petra can go away also because she was an accomplice. Exactly. Uh-huh. Oh, goodness. Okay. So that's Petra's storyline with Magda. Miss Awful.
Ugh.
Oh, and also, for all of you who happen to kill someone and need to hide the body, vodka and lemons is what you need to mask that scent.
Mask a dead body odor.
And if you're hungry, get a little can of tuna and it'll make everything just great. I'm just kidding. Jokes. Because of the show. Okay. All right. Someone else evil. Wesley Stupid Face Masters.
Damn him. I hate that kid,
except for I was right about saying how his story was going to help with the plot, with them trying to figure something out, because when you have like a third party writing everything out for you, then it helps. All right. Nice. Good timing. Okay, guys. So I have a phone call, I believe, that is coming in just a second. Let me know if it's working. Jay.
He's on the line.
Hello. He is. Jay? Hey, see?
Hey, Jay.
How's it going?
Thank you for calling in. As you know, we are streaming live. So just so all of you guys know, Jay is one of my coworkers. We have a different job separate to our entertainment life. And James, will you pull up a picture? Jay, I have the picture of you and the ladies.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry, I look kind of nerdy in that photo. But.
No, it's okay. So Jay plays the target manager and has his, what did you, you were just, if you can help them out, but you still got the opportunity to meet all of them. So that must've been great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Had a great time on set. We shot the scene about a month ago and we spent like a whole day at Target. It was a good time hanging out with Gina and Andrea and the whole cast and crew. I mean, like 5 out of the 7 series regulars were all there, so just we pretty much just hung out and chatted and had fun.
That's amazing. And they, I mean, I know that you just had that like first initial line, but they definitely interacted with you and like, in, you know, were nice and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was fun, especially hanging out with little baby Mateo. He's a little cutie.
He was screaming
while I was making my lines. I think he was blocking me with what I was trying to say, but no, we pretty much did the takes like for like a couple hours, just because, you know, I had to do the different camera angles and stuff. But no, it was so much fun. I had a great time, and Gina was so hospitable, and the whole cast and crew were just so much fun. I was like, is there any way they can maybe bring me back? Maybe if they return the items that they buy at Target.
Exactly, right? You can be the customer service rep. That's so great. Did you get to do anything else? Or, I mean, was there something else and maybe they cut it? Or was it just that they had you do?
No, actually, I had a few more lines that they were trying to kind of test out as kind of like a plan B kind of scenario. I don't know if you know that the extra Latino family that they were in competition with, we kind of had a little scene going on ourselves with myself and them and Gina as they kind of bump heads with their carts. And you know, unfortunately that got cut, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure, as you know, whenever you shoot a television show, it's never exact on exactly the script, how they go about it. But, you know, it all comes down to the editing. But, you know, what they did tonight was awesome, and, you know, they got the best shots, and, hey, I'm pleased with it. So
that was so great. Are you doing anything else right now? I mean, I know you have a couple of commercials. Are you doing any, like, television shows as far as extra goes? Being an extra?
Not yet. I've just been auditioning a lot. It's been great. Jane the Virgin was definitely a nice little step stool to for me to get seen by other casting directors in Hollywood. So, you know, I've been in the Scandal Grey's Anatomy office quite a bit ever since I shot the Jane show. So, you know, just, you know, praying and waiting and just keeping my fingers crossed. And, you know, like they say, just, you know, do what you got to do and move on.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling us, Jay. I appreciate that. I will see you soon. And for all of you who want to follow Jay, he doesn't have a Twitter, but you can follow him at jboom288, I believe it is.
Yes, that's it.
That's his Instagram. Okay. Thank you so much, Jay. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, right. Jay.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got a little inside scoop.
A little inside scoop. That's great. Oh, that would have been funny to see a competition.
Yeah.
Right? Or like a little bit of a...
That scene must have gotten cut, right? Because yeah. I didn't see any kind of competition.
It was actually quick.
On.
I thought they promoted the Black Friday part a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what? Maybe it was when we were skipping through the commercial stuff, right? Maybe
all those little bits.
Maybe mm-hmm. they could have talked about it in those scenes.
Possibly.
Yeah.
That seemed great. You know what's funny, guys? During those commercial breaks, there was one where it's Gina and Brett Dreyer just sitting there talking, and I literally got jealous. I was like, you know what? I don't want them to get along even off camera.
That's how Team Raph you are. You just don't want them to be next to each other.
Oh. Well, it's okay. You know what? Today I was a little bit hurt by...
Her pouting?
No. Raph.
Oh, Raph.
But
yeah.
That's okay, because whatever. Everyone makes mistakes. Anyways, moving on. Where did we leave off at? We were talking about...
Before we went to Jay. I don't recall.
I don't recall either.
Yeah.
I want to say we were talking about Nadine and how she passed, and then
That was it, I think, and how...
Petra, we got... Oh, no, Wesley Masters, hello.
Wesley, that little bastard.
Yes. Aww. I mean, a good story, but... That sucks, especially because of how... I mean, honestly, great writer. He really got his story quick and did it right.
Oh, man, but, he put it right into the paper, right? Was it the Miami Herald?
But I'm saying, like, as far as his research goes, I mean, he got in there the way he needed to, and that was that.
Yes, and he recorded everything on his iPhone, too. Mm-hmm. He had it down, Pat. You know, he wrote everything out, did it way quicker than Jane. And Jane was having so many problems, like, trying to write, getting interrupted... By just her thoughts, her straight thoughts of her teachers coming in.
She couldn't catch a break this episode.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, but I feel that's a bit of Jane's character. Yeah. There's always something happening. All I could think about this episode was if what was happening to her was happening to anyone that I know here in Los Angeles, they'd be like, no, just my life is really hard right now. And she doesn't. It's funny how she just doesn't even see it that way. Just something bad happens, and she's like, oh, no, what do I do to fix it? And that's it.
She's
not
she
like,
really
the
wants...
world's after me.
Yeah, she's a problem solver, which
she is
really
good.
And she just keeps getting hit by obstacles one after another, even starting with Mateo. You know, that's a big obstacle to overcome. It's also a blessing at the same time. Mm-hmm. But it's just, she is a very positive person, and that's what I love about Jane.
Yes. I know. It's going to help her ultimately. I mean, but at the end of the day, too, I can't help but think that she's also just really young.
Yeah.
And she continuously does things that's young. So I can it makes me happy that I can forgive her for that. Because, again, like I said, when I was 23, I was nowhere near where I am now. But, yeah.
She's so good-hearted that it actually gets her a lot of rewards, even though she also gets screwed over sometimes.
Right.
Like... Going
for those who are being too nice. I mean, that's what they've always said. Don't be so nice. You'll get, you know, taken advantage
of. But it's always going to come back to give her some kudos. Like, she went to her old professor, Chavez, mm-hmm. right? And she asked him nicely to be her advisor, and he turned her down. But she was like, you know what? There's a way around this.
Yep.
And she signed up for him. She said, I guess in a way it's like threatening that she's going to sign up for his class again.
Oh, right? He's like, No, that's funny. And she got that a little...
Kazoon tight.
Thank you. She got that little push because of Rogelio, which is mm-hmm. so great. I really love how much of a father figure and a part that he's playing in her life, because it's what she wanted and it's what he wanted. And I'm happy that that's at least one little dream come true that they both got, because now she's just so comfortable with him and he's genuinely being a good role model slash influence to her.
I love that scene when he took off from the set on the horseback, because he was inspired by them, and then in turn she got inspired, and that's why she did that whole
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. It's just, oh,
beautiful.
It's so beautiful. I love it. Yeah, so Jane, she was inspired, and she said that she was going to re-register for the class, that she didn't care for the credit, and that what her focus was to be a better writer. So then Professor Chavez is like, you know what? I'd rather see you once a week as an advisor than have you in my class three times a week. So that was funny. And I'm happy that, I mean, really, because he's going to be an advisor, something can happen still between them. Yeah, romantically. But I like that they haven't put that there yet. They haven't shown it. And then as far as Ms. Bolton goes, the writer that she initially wanted as her advisor, she was cool until she gave her the advice.
All that advice she gave her, I don't know. Like, I didn't like most of it. Like, maybe it started off okay. Like, maybe it's just that you have to exaggerate. You gotta explode it.
She was trying to make her writing a
novela. Turn up the volume. Yeah, yeah.
Which it is, but...
She wanted her to do those things, but then it just kept nagging at her, and she gets those, like, characters over her shoulder all the time, and it made her go crazy and not write well.
Exactly.
Right? And I was just like... Wow, she needs to find her own voice and not listen to all these other people.
Right.
Which she has been doing a lot.
And she's learning. It's yeah, because she's not... Okay, that's happening to her, and she is learning to not listen to everyone, which I think falls even to her accepting Chippa, the babysitter. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of trying to relax, trying to just...
Let things be.
Let things be. I mean, when you go through what you've gone through, how do you do that?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's tough for her. Mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, it's that point, where she is still so attached to Mateo. Mm-hmm. She just barely weaned him a few months ago, right? And at the same time, it's like she has that routine. She has a very set routine. Remember when she wrote that huge long list for taking care of him? Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost the same thing with Chippa. And it's even more exaggerated because it was an 82, 83 minute thing that she was talking to her about. It's just like... Why? She doesn't need to do that. She's going to give her to somebody else. Don't micromanage this lady's time.
Yeah.
Let the babysitter take care of
Mateo. Let her do her job. Yeah.
Let her do her job. She has her own style.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'm very happy that when they decided to check the nanny cam, that it wasn't something bad. I was afraid that they were going to show Chippa doing something like awful to Mateo,
right,
which would have just been too much for me. But instead, this is when we see Raph... getting into a little bit of an altercation with the Eric Wu.
Yeah, he's verbal. They're having a verbal altercation, and that's where we find out that he put Wu up to it. Did he pay him? Did he say he paid him off?
I think so.
Yeah.
Here's my thing: that it sucks for Michael, but at the same time, Raph as a father, and because he doesn't know what's going on, so it's they're balanced on this, but he was trying to take care of his family.
Yeah, he felt like he was doing the right thing from his perspective.
Of course.
Which is fine, you know?
And be even more safe by not being the one, because what if he got caught? So it's like he was just trying to protect.
You know, it's funny that all this is happening this episode, because it really shows his abuse of what his money can do for him, that he's able to
keep everything quiet.
He can keep things quiet. He can pay people off and get other people in trouble, manipulate situations.
Right.
Where on the other hand, we have Michael, who can abuse his power as a police officer by calling in favors, by checking classified files,
and having the law enforcement have your back.
Yeah. Exactly. And they still have his back because he's undercover.
We find out that he was not fired, that they just made it a big thing.
Right.
So that word would get out, which is, you know, typically the strategy for most little crime things. You know, you got to fake a death, fake a something, fake, right? Okay, we get it.
Put people in witness protection or be able to, like, sleuth around without the bad guys seeing you.
Yes. All right, y'all. So I'm going to say that I'm going to make it even for my teams right now, because I do like Michael. I really do. And I'm just happy that he blew Jane off. I'm really happy that he did.
Yes.
Because I need Michael. Because at one point, Raph did that. Maybe that's why I'm team Raph, because Raph was still being a man and had to do what he had to do. But Michael also, and still loving Jane, but he's like, nope, you know, I moved on and needed to to kind of like push her away. And I think that that's so important, because if they end up together later, it's like that, what I said last week, you know, if they're yours, let them go and they'll come back to you. I think I'll be more comfortable with them being together if, because he did this, because he let there be space, because she knows what it's like to be without him, and he needs to fix this first problem. Because it, ultimately, that's the, you know, if it's going to be about Mateo, then he, it starts with him, and that's why Raph was mad, and the whole Nadine, and there's a couple of things why that happened, and it was kind of Michael's fault.
I feel, yeah, it absolutely was his fault that Mateo got hurt, yeah. You know, thankfully.
That, or and like even the kidnapping and stuff like that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it does fall back to him. Is he the bad guy that did
no.
it? He's not.
No, but that's why I'm saying it's yeah. important that, like, sorry, bro, but you got caught up in this because you of your choice of, yeah. you know, your line of work, and so you need to fix the problem before you try to win Jane's heart again.
I'm glad that he did push her away, saying that he was over her. And
moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Yes, moving on. Okay, so I feel like it would have been too easy for him to go back, so it's a good thing he did that. And you know what? It's going to make him win more points in my mind, because then he's going to be able to maybe date around a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he could come back to her. She just...
And make it that much more real.
Yeah, exactly. And she... This is essentially breaking up with Raph.
Right.
Everything that occurred at the end of this episode.
Right.
So that's going to give her some time to maybe date around a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And get over both of the guys.
And get romantically involved with Professor Chavez.
Possibly.
I think maybe something will happen there, because they have... One thing in common.
Yeah, writing. They've been building it up too.
Exactly.
It's like this is the first act of kindness that she's shown him, mm-hmm. and her sending that email to him accidentally, saying that he's like, Sir, right. Dr. Doom, or yeah. whatever it was pretty funny. And it allowed her and him to have like a couple barriers drop a little bit, maybe because
yes.
it felt so. It felt so informal for her to
right.
do something like that.
Very, absolutely. In fact, and I also feel that he's the type of guy, even though he seems very respectable and, you know, he's this writer, I do think that he has noticed that she's just focused on the writing, that none of his glamour has gotten in the way of anything, where I think that he might be used to his female students possibly kind of, you know, batting their eyes at him. And not necessarily messing up, but making everything perfect, where she's just kind of been a bit of a shit show since the start of the class. So I do feel like something might happen there, which would be nice. I think we all need a break from Team Raph and Team Michael, and they just need to do their own thing for now. I still don't think that Raph did anything, did something too wrong. Oh, but I do want to mention a nice moment between Raph and Jane, just, you know, for the sake of my happiness. On their date, when he takes her to see the house,
mm-hmm.
I know we just said that we needed a break from Team Michael and Team Raph, but I have to make a point on Team Raph.
This is a good point that you're going to make.
Yes. That he goes and he tells her that when he was younger, he always used to look in front of a house, meaning it wasn't all about money. He did want normalcy. He did recognize what his family was. And, you know, we see what money did to him, and he's just used to it. It's just what he knows to work with. You know, you do what you know, kind of. And then Jane looked at him and she's like, me too. I was happy because they have this one thing in common. And because it just goes to show you, they probably have a lot more. We haven't had the opportunity. You know, they really did fall in love with each other for whatever reason it was. And they are still getting to know each other and kind of coming to find out that they have these things in common. And I think that that is a very important thing in common, because it stems from their childhood, and their childhood is, you know, their innocence, and their innocence is truly who they are. So
yeah, I think earlier in the episode, she was having a flashback, or she was talking to someone and saying that she
it was perfect. The white picket fence.
Exactly.
This is not.
Yeah, exactly. That was
Sean.
Yes, that was perfection for her, Stephanie.
Yes.
And then to have Raph have like an overlap, or like really similar,
a very
dream,
perfect overlap. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. I thought, and it's very humbling to hear him say that, because he's a guy who owns this hotel chain and he lives in his luxury hotel at the same time. But for him to want something too, like a two-story house with a white picket fence.
Oh my God, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good compromise between both of their worlds.
Absolutely. And again, it brings him back. It brings him down to earth as well.
Yeah, it does. Him driving that Audi today and the way he looks, it kind of hit me. I was like, this guy is like the Latino Christian Grey.
No, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. See, that's why he's so messed up.
Yeah. Well, oh, from Fifty Shades.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, because I didn't. No, I'm stupid. It doesn't matter. I never watched the movie or read the books, but I do know the characters.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes, because he drives an Audi, always sharply dressed all the time, clean cut. That's totally like Christian Grey.
Right. And I feel like he can't be blamed for that because it's, you know, like I said, it's what you know and it's what he's been around. Whatever.
Yeah.
But it was really nice to see. And again, I'm happy. Michael's coming back. We see that he's not completely awful. He's still undercover. Oh, and because of Wesley's story, it unravels that...
Mutter
might be Luisa's mom.
Wow. That's insane. It's like such a revelation to hear that. And that the coffin is empty. We got that huge, like, subplot that we never talked about before, really,
right.
with Luisa revealing everything to Wesley.
Because she's such a sucker.
Oh, my gosh.
Yara Martinez. We need to get Yara. We should try. I'm going to... Okay.
Yeah.
I keep saying this, but I'm going to really try.
Does she live in L.A.?
December 14th. Ooh, I want to say she does. She came into AfterBuzz for another show that she's on. I remember running into her.
Oh, that'd be cool to have her here.
So I know she's familiar with it. And she told me verbally, she said, yes, she'd like to come on the after show.
She is so funny. She's every scene.
I mean, she's great. She pisses me off, but I love her.
Yeah, I love her too. She's humorous. She's beautiful. She's just fantastic. Let's get her in here.
Yeah,
every scene she's in is like golden. It's almost on par with Rogelio's humor.
Yes. Yes. It's silly. Well, I mean, yeah. And she's refreshing because she makes you mad, but you can't. It's like such a joke.
Yeah.
You know?
She just has such a big heart. She wants to love everybody.
Yeah. No, I want to love everybody. She just wants to love Rose.
Aww.
Anyways. Okay, I feel like that wraps up most of this episode. We can move on to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now my predictions are confused because the next episode is the mid-season finale. So I'm trying to think of what they would all put in there.
And we didn't even get to see any teasers, really, in the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Gosh, do you want to go first? Should I?
No, please.
Oh, man. I don't have a good prediction. I want to say that Michael, I think we already talked about this, he's not going to get back with her right away. Not going to get back with Jane right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to build more with Professor Chavez and her. They're stuck together because he's going to be her advisor.
Yeah.
So they're going to build it up, and maybe next time they're going to touch in a really casual way, like playful kind
Something.
Of way. And maybe there'll be like a twinkle in his eye where he's like, oh, I kind of like this girl now.
Right. And I know she won't go with it because at the end of the day, she's still going to be in love with Michael or Raph, but she needs to step away from this tripod here.
Yeah.
She really needs to. Love triangle, whatever you want to call it. I agree. I think the same thing. Also, I want to see if Raph is actually going to be able to sue Wesley. I'm wondering if he's going to be like, no, this was all information just given to me by the people. Or, something with that is we're going to figure out what's going to happen there. And possibly further with the Mutter investigation. I don't know. Well, now I don't even know what to think about the... I take back what I said about the partner. I don't think she's bad now.
Yeah, I know.
Because that was her idea. So really,
Barnett.
She's just that good.
Yeah, Barnett is really good. And she recognized that Michael, even though she was kind of doing checking up on him, she realized that, hey, we need him to bring down the whole Sinrostro drug cartel.
Right. And she just did it the right way. She did it a better way because he was already too involved to where it was like obvious anytime he was investigating. Oh, brother.
Man. Okay. We have to wait 2 weeks.
All right. So where can they find you then, Sean?
Well, Stephanie, everybody can find me at Sean Austin O on Twitter and Instagram. That's SEANAUSTINO. And you can find my book, City of Angels and Discontent, on the iBookstore. You can also find those links in my Twitter and Instagram page. Be sure to check out my book and leave me a comment and review. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us again. He's been looking out for the Jane the Virgin team. I just want to give another shout out to Ruben Blades, Son de Panamá con Roberto Delgado y El Orquesta. Excuse me. Congratulations to them on the Latin Grammy. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, on Instagram at The Stephanie Georgie. And don't forget to just leave us loads of comments, and we'll see you on December 14th, the same time, live at 11. Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.